You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
We are 32 days, Rick, away from the 2023 NFL Draft. This is With the First Pick, the CBS Sports Draft Podcast. I'm Ryan Wilson. That's Rick Spielman, our general manager with more than 30 years of NFL experience, including 17 years in the Vikings front office, a decade of which he was the general manager. Today, we're doing an in-depth recap of our pro day travels. Last week, that took us to Ohio State, to Tuscaloosa, Lexington, to watch C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, and Will Levis over that three-day stretch. And if you missed it, we did immediate reaction podcast from Ohio State and Alabama, and today we'll include Will Levis in that discussion. And on Tuesday, that's tomorrow, if you're watching us live, we'll be talking our wide receiver rankings with our guy Josh Edwards. And then on Thursday, we'll be doing another immediate reaction pro day podcast, this time from Gainesville, Florida, after Anthony Richardson, no doubt, puts on a show. As always, you can watch us live on YouTube at NFL on CBS, and be sure to subscribe and leave us a comment. And hey, drop us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And look, we know you're on text threads about the draft with your buddies. Tell them to listen to With the First Pick. All right, Rick, let's get to it. We were on the road for 3 days last week. It felt like 3 months for me. I would be a terrible NFL scout. And I was talking to one of my buddies who's a scout in the league, and he said, so I'm at the Kentucky Pro Day, and I said, look, man, I'm not cut out for this. He said, I've been home 72 hours since the combine. So it's a little different way of life for soft media folks like me, as opposed to grizzled veterans like yourself and my buddy there who's a scout.
I don't know if I would discredit myself. You work very hard at this. You put together these mock drafts. You're really
come
up with great evaluations and player comps. So I respect everything you do to get prepared and get us prepared for quarterback this podcast.
Hey, Debo. Debo's producing before he leaves us for a little bit. He's taking a vacation right before the draft. I don't know what you think about that, Rick. But
it's amazing to me.
So, Debo, here's the car that we had in Tuscaloosa. We had a black convertible Mustang. Me and Rick cruising down from Birmingham to Tuscaloosa in a black convertible Mustang. And
you know what's nice about that? If we would have got a speeding ticket because we were trying to make our flight back, Debo would have paid for it. And CBS, I told him, just expense it.
Just expense it. Yeah, that's right. And Debo, let me ask you this quickly, and then we'll get going. What kind of music do you think Rick listens to when he's just trying to chillax?
Marvin Gaye.
You're not far off. Dude, he busted out the 90s slow jams that we listened to all the way back from Birmingham to from Tuscaloosa to Birmingham. And then again, I think from Lexington, Kentucky, back to Cincinnati.
Yeah, we did a little TLC and Don't Go Facing Waterfalls. And
by the way, Rick, I told you this. I sent you the text. We got a new puppy on Saturday, 2 days ago. So you might hear the puppy, who's literally upstairs in his little tiny crate, yelling and screaming because he's not happy. But that's all right. He'll be okay. He's going to take a nap in a second. So if you hear that, don't be alarmed. That's just the newest addition to the With the First Pick family, figuring out what he's supposed to be doing right now. All right, Rick, tell me your initial overall takeaways from seeing C.J. Stroud on Wednesday, Bryce Young on Thursday.
Can I ask you a question? If you can stick to the script, I know Debo spends a whole 10 minutes throwing that together right before the show. Can we go back to maybe talking about Lamar Jackson?
Are we supposed
to cover that off the top? Not that I'm trying to be the host.
No, you're right.
It's just a supporting actor role here.
No, I appreciate it. I got discombobulated. I got discombobulated by the TLC and then the dog barking. So that's the wrong my game. You're exactly right. Lamar Jackson. So I'll pose the question to you this way. You're always at the owner's meetings. General managers are always at those things, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you're there, and let's say you're the general manager of the Ravens, Eric DaCosta, or the coach, Jim Harbaugh, who's sitting down at the table to speak with the media, and then someone informs you, probably your frantic PR person, that, oh, by the way, Lamar just sent this tweet where he said he asked to be traded earlier this month and you have not accommodated him. And it feels like he doesn't want to be there because things aren't working out in terms of the team and the player being on the same page. The player, by the way, who doesn't have an agent. Is your mind racing? Are you calling Lamar? You're not calling his agent because he didn't have one. What's the next step for you?
Yeah, no, I'm sure that there'll be, it's amazing the timing because this didn't come out until all 32 head coaches and general managers are at the owners meeting. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of sidebar conversations going on between the meetings, if they're actually interested in trading him or not. I mean, there's different ways you can go about it, understanding that he can maybe come in, sign that franchise tag and do a sign and trade type deal. There's just different ways to go about it. But I don't think it's that Lamar does not want to be in Baltimore. I think it's just they have come to an impasse on what the package, the financial package and a contract should be. And I don't know if there's another team willing to step up, but I would explore every opportunity possible if I were the Baltimore Ravens general manager. Two, if I'm going to give up Lamar Jackson, one, I have no other option. Everything is pretty much done. I'm too low to probably get one of the top four picks unless I do something crazy to go up and get in the top. But I don't think they have the draft capital to do that. They may, if they trade Lamar Jackson, then it's a whole different ball game. Do they run up and start scrambling to get into this quarterback mix? So it'll be interesting to see how all this plays out. But I think it's just a business decision on both sides that they're trying to still work out. I've listened to Jim Harbaugh John,
you got it.
Yeah, John Harbaugh, and what he was saying in his press conference, and it's just part of the business. And they sounded, at least he sounded like he was hoping that they could still work this deal out.
So if you were a betting man, what are the chances Lamar is playing in Baltimore for the Ravens in week one?
Well, he has no choice. They control the situation.
Well, he can sit out, though. Like, if he
can sit out, but they're still going to control his rights. And if he does sit out the whole year, he's going to not have, he's got to at least come in by, I think, week 11 to play in order to
vest the year.
Yeah, vest another year. And then they can just tag him again. So, you know, they got two tags in their pocket, this tag they use and next year's tag. So,
But you don't want him unhappy, though. I mean, you could potentially trade him. So, what's the possibility that, let me ask you this, what's the possibility they trade him then by week one?
I don't know. You don't know. It's like one night I woke up and the next thing I know we had Stephon Diggs traded to Buffalo.
Gotcha.
Because it just happened so quickly. And maybe someone just blows you away with some type of offer that you just say, okay, that, you know, you talk with the ownership. This is the decision we're going to make. We've decided to move on. You understand we're probably not going to be able to fill this. But then you're going to be, I think the Baltimore Ravens will be in rebuild mode then.
If you are the Indianapolis Colts sitting at four, would you trade the number four pick and maybe something else for Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, unless they fall in love with either Levis or Richardson. But if not, then maybe that's an option that they're considering.
Because, I mean, just doing the hypotheticals here that I know you love. And then at four, if you're the Ravens, you could take Anthony Richardson. Now, he is a huge step down from Lamar in terms of where he is coming out of college. I mean, it's not even close. He's probably a better athlete, which seems crazy to say, but what are you going to say?
You just confused me here. So why are the Raiders picking at four?
The Colts are going to trade that fourth pick to Baltimore for Lamar. And then the Ravens are at four. So then they can sort of, if they're down the road where they can't come to terms with Lamar, I was wondering if the Colts would be interested, even though they've had a bad run on free agent or veteran quarterbacks in recent years.
Right. Well, the ownership's got to be willing to step up and pay that bill too.
Yeah.
I think they would, because they've been trying to solve that quarterback issue for so long. But the Ravens definitely, I think, would be interested in Anthony Richardson over Will Levis, just because of the style of play similarities, bigger version of, I don't want to call him Lamar Jackson, maybe not as consistent of a thrower, but very similar physical traits and athletic traits that would probably fit right into their scheme and their system.
Yep, that's right. So we got to sort this out. And it'll be, I don't know if it'll be fun to watch for the Ravens, but it'll be interesting to watch from afar because this is a big deal. I'll ask one more thing, then we'll take a break and we'll go back to the pro day conversation that we had initially planned here. The Raiders sit at 7. They signed Jimmy G to a 3-year deal. I don't think they're, based on sort of what we heard over the last week or so, I don't know if they're going to be in the quarterback business at 7. But the fact that they were tells me that Jimmy G's a bridge quarterback. Is there any planet where you'd sign Jimmy G to that 3-year deal because you're out of options free agent wise, and then you get in the Lamar sweepstakes?
No, none. I cannot see that happen, especially since you just signed Jimmy G to a 3-year deal.
Okay.
And it's interesting listening to Josh McDaniels too talk at his press conference that putting out whether it's smoke or real, I would lean more towards smoke, that they're definitely in looking at one of these quarterbacks, but they also may be trying to create some trade interest on if someone like Tampa or someone below there, the Reds, whoever, the Commanders, whoever need to come up and get a quarterback, that if there is any threat, which they're trying to put out there, that we're going to take a quarterback at their pick at number 7. And that's what they're trying to generate right now as well.
It's funny you mentioned that. Before we take a break, I'm going to mention quickly, I put out my first 3-round mock draft of the 2023 draft cycle on Monday, March 27th. So if you're listening to this live, it's already out. Or if you're listening to it later, it's already out too. So you can check it out on CBSSports.com. But I mentioned that, Rick, because I had Will Levis falling all the way to 18th. I had the Rams trading up to 18 to get him, leapfrogging the Buccaneers at 19. And while all that's well and good, I wanted to ask you about the compensation, because I used our buddy RJ White's draft chart, but again, it doesn't account for the premium you play for quarterbacks. So tell me if you think this is okay, or if you would do this if you're the GM. You may not think it's okay, but if you're
the GM of,
let's say you're the GM of you could be the Detroit Lions GM. That's not a stretch. So they're at 17. At 6, they picked Lucas Van Ness. He's moving on up the charts here.
I looked at that, and I know I respect everything you do in this and how you have to do a 3-round mock and how you prepare for this. What did LA have left in draft capital to move all the way up there to get them?
I'm glad you asked.
Because that one I was trying to figure out.
So here's what they gave up, and I'll tell you in a second the actual picks they have left, which aren't a lot. So the Lions get pick 36.
Second round.
Pick 77.
Third rounder.
And then a 2024 second rounder to go from 18 down to 36. That's where they'll start picking.
Yeah. If I was Detroit, I would hang up the phone as quickly as I could, because that is not enough value.
Okay. What do you need then? Let me ask you that. What do you need?
There better be some firsts involved in there.
I would think so, but I was doing the math, and like RJ White's trade value chart is based on the last 15, 20 years of historical data and the trades that have happened. But again, it doesn't account for the premium you pay for a quarterback. So I understand that part of it. So you want a first round pick, even though you're moving down, you don't have to move down.
Right.
You,
when's their next first round pick? 2048.
They have one in 2024. So you want a 2024 first rounder?
Oh, I'd be all over that. Yeah. I'm not even talking unless that's involved in the first rounder.
So 36, 74 in that first rounder, will that do it?
Maybe. I'd have to look at the point chart and just see how it all adds up.
But all right. So I gave the Rams a bargain there. Okay.
Bargain. You gave them a steal. You could get someone fired if Detroit takes that deal.
Oh, listen. I love you, but I don't want you replacing Chris. Let me just put that out there. I want Chris right where he is.
Hey, Bo, I know you're listening to this, but I've never seen a guy go over top with my brother than anyone before. It's like, first I thought he liked me, but now I'm just second fiddle since I introduced him to my brother at the combine. And that's just been like, I don't know how many. He ran over 16 people through the 40-yard dash. Everybody's trying to time, and he saw Chris. And he's like actually running, sprinting across the finish line, trying to get over there and say hi to Chris.
Was I more excited to see your brother, or was Pete more excited to see Goodell at the combine?
Well, that's a toss-up. Boy, you guys are kind of starstruck people.
Get out of here. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll actually talk about these pro days right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget.
Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
All right, Rick, let's talk about these pro days. Thank you for reminding me.
Before we get into that, can I tell you that I actually have one of the final four teams in the pool?
Jeez. Do you watch a lot of college basketball?
No. I just, my daughter picked the FAU.
Great job by your daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the percentages are in the brackets of how many people have any Final Four participants. So you're probably in the top 10% of people left. Do you know where you rank in your bracket?
No, I have no clue.
You might be first.
I have no clue. I don't have any of the other Final Four, but I do have FAU.
Your daughter should do a mock draft. She might get all those.
Maybe better than both of us.
She might be better than both of us. All right, so let's talk about these pro days. Congratulations on your FAU pick. Let's hope that would be a fun story. What is your biggest takeaway from being in back-to-back-to-back days in Ohio State in Columbus, in Tuscaloosa, in Lexington? Let's start with the quarterback, the overall takeaway from that.
Yeah, it's great when you have the opportunity to go out there and see them throw back to back to back. I thought they all had very good workouts. When you look at C.J. Stroud, he just built off what he did at the combine. He was throwing to his own receivers. And just for future reference, Ryan, if you want to put this name away, there's a receiver that worked out at Ohio State named Marvin Harrison Jr., that actually worked out there. So just keep him in your back.
Rings a bell. Okay.
Yeah. He may be a prospect next year. So
his dad was there too, who looked great, by the way.
Yeah. So
run routes.
I thought all three of them worked out extremely well. I thought CJ continued with the accuracy, the touch, the timing, overthrew a couple of deep balls. But other than that, I thought he had a great workout. Saw a lot of some of the coaches on the side, talking with them, working with them, some stuff, even though these are scripted. And then we headed down to see Bryce Young, who also was very impressive. I think the thing that you noted was that not only does he have enough ability to put enough velocity on the ball on some of his throws, but he has great touch and timing. And a lot of his throws were just spot on when he's throwing before the receiver gets out of his break. He did overthrow a couple of deep balls when he was rolling, but he was throwing to, I believe, a receiver that's going to run slower than anticipated. But I won't name that receiver because he'll be out in next year's draft. But I thought both those guys had outstanding workouts, didn't hurt themselves. And especially what we talked about was Bryce Young put all of his eggs in one basket because he was the only top quarterback out of the four that did not throw at the combine. Then we went to Will Levis's on Friday. And no question, this guy is a yoked-up linebacker-looking quarterback. It was like impressive. And his quick release, his arm strength probably, and the velocity that he put on the ball is – if you just got off arm strength, you would say his velocity was better than CJ's and it was better than Will's.
Yeah.
But his touch, his timing, I think those are issues because I don't know if he knows how to take steam off the ball in some of those throws. And the only other thing, you can see the picture here, he is so developed in his upper body.
And you mentioned that maybe too developed, which sounds like a weird thing to say about a football player, right?
Yeah, especially a quarterback, because you can see how tight he is. His release is very tight, although it's extremely quick. But when you have to throw, when he rolled to his left, I thought that stiffness showed up. So there were some things there that were a little concerning for me. No question about the arm strength, but the ability to take something off the throw, to have a natural feel, how to lay it up. Like, and I'll ask you this, did you see a difference between when Bryce Young was throwing and when Will Levis was throwing? What was the biggest takeaway you had out of those?
For Bryce, which sounds funny to say about someone who's 5'10 and an eighth, and he probably weighs less than 200 pounds now, but it was effortless, which is, it was that he feel like he would have to step on every throw to get it where he wanted to. But CJ sort of flicked it. Bryce was even more effortless in my mind, just in terms of the mechanics and the way the ball came out of his hand. And it felt like Levis, not that he was tense, but it felt like everything had to be a fastball. And it like you sort of touched on it, he struggled to layer the ball, and you see Bryce here. And
what do you mean when you say layer the ball?
So your ability to throw the ball to the second level, especially over the linebackers, and get it over and drop it over that those second level defenders, or even down the field, drop it in a bucket. And, you know, you want to, if you're aiming for the front pylon of the end zone, you sort of put it in there between there and, you know, 2 or 3 yards going towards the middle of the field away from the defender, where it's felt like Levis, and just at the pro day, not necessarily on his tape, the ball was more line drive and less fly ball to center field. Does that make sense?
Kind of.
All right. You tell me what you think about when I say layer. What am I trying to say?
Basically, he can put some touch on a ball throwing with velocity. That makes sense.
That's right. Yeah. So you probably know a little better, more than I do, given that you're 29 years and 8 months ahead of me on the evaluation. But I think we both agreed. We both came away with and you know what's funny? I was reading the comments, and if you haven't seen it, you can go back and see me and Rick do our immediate podcasts from Ohio State and from Tuscaloosa right after the pro days happened. But you and I both agreed that Bryce was slightly better than CJ. It wasn't a marked difference. It was just a slight difference. And people in the comments, I don't know if they're Ohio State supporters or just people watching with unbiased eye, thought we were crazy to think that Bryce had a better pro day. But, you know, we'll see. I don't think anyone would argue that Will Levis had the best pro day of the bunch. I'll ask you this at the time.
Whoa. You think he had the best pro day of the bunch?
No one would argue that.
Right. That I misunderstood you.
Yeah, you were ready to jump on me. No, we all agree that Will Levis is third in the pro days we've seen so
far.
Okay,
thank you.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
But I did want to ask you this. What happened if we saw Will Levis first, had nothing to base it against in this draft class because we hadn't seen CJ or Bryce yet, and then we saw CJ or Bryce subsequent to that? Will we feel differently about Will Levis? No?
No. No, okay. You're going in with open eyes on all three of those workouts, and then you're assessing what you saw during those three workouts, and then you stack them accordingly from there based off of people have to understand we're just basing this ranking right now off of what we've seen at pro day and what they did at pro day.
All right. I'll ask you one more question. Then we'll take more of a general overview of the pro days. Cause as you mockingly noted in our first pro day podcast from Ohio State, I've only seen Syracuse pro days in person. So
I'm sorry. that
gets you every time. But
my camera even almost fell over.
Yeah. Your camera likes that joke too. But I ask you
this. It's not a joke. It's actually, you're actually quite serious about it, which is shocking.
Yeah. Hey, listen. I ask you this and Brady Quinn on the quarterback podcast we did a few weeks ago. And I'll ask it again. At the time I asked both you and Brady, knowing everything we know now about all these players on planet Earth, would you rather have going into the 2023 season, Kenny Pickett if you're the Steelers, or would you rather have Will Levis? You and Brady both said you would take Will Levis on upside. That was before the pro day, a couple of weeks before the pro day. I'll ask you now again, knowing everything that we know about these players on planet Earth, if you're the Steelers, would you rather have Kenny Pickett going into the 2023 season or Will Levis?
That's a difficult question. I may start leaning towards Kenny Pickett now after watching the Will Levis pro day.
And the pro day was not bad, by the way.
No, it was a very good pro day. It's just, can he do off platform throws? Can he change his arm trajectory? Does it always have to be that compact, tight release? Because you're not going to be able to do that all the time in the NFL. So I think Kenny Pickett, if you compared the two last year, which, and I'm asking you this, after you watched Kenny Pickett and what he did, and I know he had Addison and Levis, as we continue to make excuses for him, didn't have a receiver, except a bunch of young kids that maybe eventually be good receivers, but they were growing and learning on the move. Would you have taken Pickett as over Levis as we now know what we know today?
A year ago, no. I'd have been all over Will Levis. I didn't love Kenny Pickett coming out last year. He was my QB 3 or 4, I think. I have to go back and check. I won't tell you my QB 1 is because I don't want to talk about it right now, but he's about to lose his job. But I wasn't high on Kenny Pickett. So Kenny Pickett proved me wrong, and that's the other nature of trying to figure out these quarterbacks. A quarter of them don't work out, or a quarter of them do work out when you take them in the first round. That means 3 out of 4 don't. And
I've had a few that didn't.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So, yeah, that's part of the conversation and part of how things can change as you go through the draft process based on what you get to see. So that's why, as you note all the time, especially to our buddy Pete Prisco, pro days are important because Pete thinks pro days are unimportant.
Started on Pete. No, that's a whole podcast on itself on why Pete thinks pro days aren't important.
I think we'll have him on next week so we can spend the hour yelling at him about various topics. But I wanted to ask you in a general sense about just the pro day experience, because I'll tell you how it went when we got to Ohio State. So we get in, we get our credentials, and we walk in, and we get to watch the weigh-ins, which is what happens if you're in the league. The weigh-ins happen first. They measure them, height, weight, all that stuff. And some of them do the vertical. Some of them do the bench press. And then you progress on to the workouts on the field. And we talked about it in the Ohio State podcast, but I'll bring it up again. You've been doing this forever. This is my first Ohio State pro day. And DeJuan Jones, who weighed
3 pro day overall in your career.
Second pro day overall in my career. DeJuan Jones, the right tackle out of Ohio State, who has a chance to be a first-round pick, weighed 375 at the Senior Bowl, weighed 374. I just looked it up at the Combine. He ran a 5.35 at the Combine. And he got measured at the pro day last week. But for the first time in human history, chose not to get weighed. And I say the first time in human history because there were NFL folks that were laughing because they'd never heard such a thing. And in your mind, he didn't do himself any favors, right?
No, because he put a lot of doubt into people's heads about what he actually does weigh. So, you know, what was being said going around the pro days, well, he must be 400 plus pounds now because he wouldn't weigh in. So where that becomes a concern is, okay, he comes to your first rookie mini camp, and let's say he weighs like what he weighed at 380 pounds. Let's give him 380. And then he works out through your whole off-season program. You got a 4 or 5 week window before everybody reports back to training camp. What's he going to look like when he comes back to training camp, especially if a guy has potential weight issues?
Right.
The worst thing he could have done was not weigh in. If he would have stepped on a scale and let's say weighed 390, no one would have blinked an eye. Just a big man that, okay, now I know we got to monitor his weight. But he left doubt in everyone's head because he refused to weigh in. And the first thing that comes into a scout's mind or coach's mind is, well, he must be not weighing in because he's trying to hide something.
Right.
And then we go out to the field and
I forgot.
Yeah. Paris Johnson Jr. put on a show. I thought he was athletic,
the left
powerful
tackle.
Hands, solidified himself in my mind as probably the first true left tackle. I don't want to put, I don't know what Skorinsky is going to do or not, where the team's going to have him. To me, he's the best overall offensive lineman. But Paris Johnson really had an unbelievable workout. And when you got to see it up close and in person, seeing what kind of shape he was in, he worked out for the scripted workout that Ohio State had. Then the coaches took him down to an end zone that was not taped. And there was about 3 or 4 NFL offensive line coaches and worked him again. And he never blinked. Was a great shape. Same with your center that you love, Whipler, even though he's
Whipler, yeah.
But those guys, and then I just see DeJuan Jones there, wouldn't weigh in. All he's doing is standing in sweats, not doing anything, and these guys are humping it. So it goes back to the old adage, I guess, in my mind is, hey, we're going to throw a ball out here. Let's go out and see who's going to compete on the playground. And DeJuan Jones elected not to do that. And that left a lot of doubt because if Darnell Wright from Tennessee works out, Broderick Jones worked, if all these other guys worked out, and DeJuan Jones elected not to. Now, I do give him credit. He did compete at the combine.
Yeah.
So, but I think he could even help himself more if he would have worked out Ohio State. But the thing that baffled everybody there was not even stepping on a scale.
And he did the first day of practice at the Senior Bowl before he had concussion-like symptoms, and he looked great on that Tuesday practice. But the thing is, what you're talking about, you're not alone, because, Debo, I'll let you know, when Rick Spielman goes to a pro day, it's like the mayor's in town, because he talked to, if there were 31 general managers there, he talked to 31 general managers. So he made his way around. He chit-chatted up everybody. And I know you were talking about more than, you know, your vacation home there in Florida. You were talking about
retirement home, but
retirement home.
We're only in a half a house. Barely making it.
Barely making it. But you were probably having conversations about, okay, this guy isn't doing this. This guy did that. That guy looks good. This guy feels like he's going to be perhaps better than we initially gave him credit for. So conversations are being had. And it's not just Rick Spielman in a bubble talking about DeJuan Jones. Everyone's having similar thoughts or conversations about these players, whether it's DeJuan Jones, whether it's Will Levis, whether it's the Valentine kid, the cornerback out of Kentucky, who had a good little pro day workout for himself.
Yeah, no, it's I'm actually not trying to get swayed with my opinion. I do like to talk I talk to a lot of people at these pro days. My goal is to keep them moving so we can get on to our next flight.
This is true. This is very true.
I talk to a lot of people at the schools that I know, so you can get some really good, valuable information from some of the people that you talk to at the schools as well. So it was great. It gives us, both of us, I think, have a much better understanding of these kids at these three pro days that we were able to cover as we get prepared for the draft to do our podcast and other broadcasting for CBS HQ once we find out what that is.
Yeah, I mentioned this to you after the Ohio State one, and we saw it in Alabama and Kentucky as well. All quarterbacks were there throughout the workouts supporting their teammates, in the mix, high-fiving, chatting them up, and all things that on the end of the day may not mean much, but you do see them out there. You see that they have that relationship, because sometimes the quarterback doesn't get along with his teammates. He's just a really good football player, so you tolerate it, and you didn't get that sense just by being able to watch every single thing that the camera doesn't show when you're watching on television, for example. So weight room workout, measurements, then you go on the field. There's Jackson Smith and Jigba right there. Yeah,
see that?
Dapping it up with CJ. Debo doing the Lord's work, and Jackson had a great, I think great is the word. He ran a 4.5, I think officially 4.48. So even you get a four in front of that number, that second number there. And I don't know, man, I feel like he's making a little move north on the draft board trick.
Yeah. And what he did at the combine, had the fastest shuttle runs, which is extremely important for receivers, with the 3-cone and the 20-yard shuttle. 4.5 is more than fast enough for a receiver. I think that the way he caught the ball in both workouts, the way he ran routes in both workouts, that he may be the first receiver off the board before it's said and done as we get through the rest of this process.
Yeah, 6 feet and change, weigh 200 pounds, 4.48 official, I think, coming out of the Ohio State Pro Day. And he looked fast. He looked nimble. He looked great in terms of his ability to get in and out of breaks, no stiffness at all. And, you know, I've said it 1,000 times. I'll keep saying it until the draft. Garrett Wilson and CJ Stroud both told us on two separate occasions that he was the best wide receiver on that 2021 team that included the aforementioned Marvin Harrison Jr., Olave, and Garrett Wilson. So then they work out the skill position players, the offensive linemen, the defensive linemen, the linebackers, everyone but the quarterback. And then the quarterback goes out there, and all three guys put on a show in different ways. And I think that's the main attraction for the NFL teams, clearly. We saw a ton of general managers at all three pro days because of the three quarterbacks that have a chance to be top 10 picks. And then after that, we do a podcast and we bonk out. In the past, when you were in the league, you may have had another pro day to go to, and we know this from talking to your brother and other people that you were chit-chatting up. Unlike Rick and me, who had to drive to the airport commercially and fly, there were teams going to the local airport right next to the facility, basically, hopping on the private jet, and they were home eating dinner before we even got to our connecting flight.
Yeah, that's a. But I know Debo is working on the sponsorship right now for with the First Pick Private Jet podcast, so that we could travel even to more pro days next year, because I imagine we're going to have to get out to California to do one and then get all the way back to North Carolina to do another one.
There you go.
Well, surfaces next year. So, Debo, appreciate the effort and energy you're putting in for that with the First Pick Private Jet service that we will be using next year.
Another sponsorship opportunity. I was thinking about this the other day after we got back, Rick. We could get some coffee sponsors, because I'm opening your eyes to all new coffee locations at these various colleges and stops that we make. And you're coming around. You're going to be a hipster coffee drinker before it's all said and done.
Love the. I mean, everybody has a role on this tour that we're doing. I do all the logistics, all the setup. I talk to all the people, make sure we have all the right rooms to go into to do the podcast. He's responsible for the hipster coffee, which I am turning into a very big coffee guru now, as ever since I've been hanging around with Ryan Wilson on the road. It started in Indy at the Combine.
That's right. No, in Mobile. Mobile, Alabama, of all places.
Oh, yeah.
Caffeine. So, yeah, I have literally one job. That's to get the coffee right.
You're a driver, too. And I'm sitting there to help build up your self-esteem as a driver.
Yeah, that needs some work then, because you're great as a co-host on air. The driving, the berating I get as a driver.
Would you say my bedside manner is an F-? Oh,
dude, Debo, if Rick were a doctor, people would just, they'd be jumping out of hospital windows instead of listening to his advice, because she's like, listen, why are you sick? Get up, go out there and do something. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk some more sock up, sock down from the players that we saw last week at these pro days.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
All right, Rick, let's get your quarterback.
I'm renaming this, by the way. How about pops and drops? Pop up, drop.
Oh, you want to do that?
Yeah, let's stock up, stock down. Doesn't everybody do that?
Pops and drops? Look at that. All right, Debo, pops and drops. Before we get going, you tweeted this out last Friday after the Kentucky Pro Day when we were eating at Bella Grill and Cafe. Can't recommend it enough in Lexington. You had a vegetable burger, or do you have like a?
Well, it's Lent, so
yeah. But what kind of what was the meat made of?
Plant based meat burger.
Oh, okay, you like that? I had the like crispy chicken sandwich, which was fantastic. So, if you're in Lexington, Kentucky, check that out. I'm gonna get the sponsorship thing going for 100%. Watch this. But you tweeted that out from there that your quarterback rankings based on just the pro days are what, 1, 2, and 3?
I said Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis.
And we'll find out. We'll add a fourth Anthony on Thursday.
Yet to be determined.
There you go. You can see Rick tweeting it out using, he's adding people, Debo, and he got a whole bunch of followers when he figured out he wasn't just screaming at himself on Twitter. So that's how that works.
I don't know how the Twitter thing works. I wish I did.
So let's talk about pops and drops among some of the other players. I think I can put Jackson Smith and Jigba as popping up.
Yep, a pop.
DeJuan Jones, his teammate?
A drop.
He's a drop. All right, we'll go down. We'll just start in Ohio State. Zach Harrison, the edge rusher, who, let me give you the numbers real quick, 6'5 and a half, 269, 10 inch hands, 36 and 2/8 inch arms. And he didn't run either at his pro day or at the combine based on my numbers. Put up 225, 25 times, but he is a little stiff when you watch him in his drills. Yes. Pop or drop?
He is a little bit of a drop for me.
You think so?
Because he didn't run. I'd love to see what he runs. And two, when you watched him do the drills, he is very developed upper body wise.
Yeah.
Long arms. But he's a little thin through his lower, which we refer to as thin pins.
Thin pins.
And he seems a little tight in his lower body, little ankle stiff, especially when he has to bend and get around some of the drills that they had to do. So I'm going to put him as a drop.
Okay, because I asked you after the Ohio State Pro Day, top 60. You said outside the top 60, and I had a scout who listens to this podcast text me the next morning. He said, man, he's going to go early day three, so calm down with the top 60 talk. So we'll see. We'll see. Okay. Paris Johnson Jr., I think I know based on what you said earlier, but why don't you tell me officially?
Paris Johnson Jr.?
Yeah. Pop or drop?
Oh, he's a pop. Okay. I think he's going to pop up to maybe the first true left tackle off the board.
All right. His teammate, offensive linemate, Luke Whipler, who 6'2 and a half or 6'2 and 5'8", 303 is what his weight, but he had 31 and 5'8" inch arms, which is short for offensive lineman.
Yeah. I would consider he worked out. I don't know if he popped, but I don't think he dropped either. So I think he just stayed pretty consistent where he's at on people's boards.
He's a top 50 guy, and I'm not coming off that.
Okay, we'll have a dollar bet on that as well.
Well, which way? You going outside the top 50?
Yep.
All right, write it down, Debo. See if those arms can carry me through. I'm team short arm and team short guy. So
yeah, Kronsky, Drew and Prisco, yeah, you make a great team together.
I guess Team Prisco. I should call them Team Prisco. They're all the Team Priscos.
Yeah, no, you put them all on in a car clown, and then drive them to the circus. We can put a whole 53 of them in a clown car.
And Pete can drive. All right, I think that's it from the guys that we talked about previously from Ohio State. Let's go to Alabama. I think it's fair to say that Bryce is a pop. I think I know if you listen to the Alabama pod, you can go if you you know this. If you haven't, go back and listen to it because it's, I think, pretty good. Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back.
Pop, pop.
Yeah, he was, man. Another example of being somewhere in person and seeing a guy move the way he moves, even though he didn't run a 40. He ran the 40 at the combine. He ran a 4.36. But his short area movements, they were noteworthy.
That may be one of the most impressive running back workouts I've seen in a while. The way he can drop his weight, the way he got into and out of the bags, the way he caught the ball. I think we charted one drop on a flat route.
Yep.
But other than that, he had a unique workout for a runner.
All right. I know you don't like to talk about guys who aren't draft eligible, but I'll just mention it because you mentioned it earlier. Who had a better workout, Jahmyr Gibbs or Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I didn't pay attention to Marvin Harrison Jr. because he is not eligible for this draft, and I am trying to stay honed in and focused on what's coming up in a couple in 32 days from now.
Let me just say Marvin Harrison Jr. had a terrible workout, and hopefully he lasts to wherever the Steelers are picking. I'll just leave it at that. All right. Okay, this is a good one. We talked about him a little bit. Tyler Steen, the offensive tackle transfer from Vanderbilt. Maybe he moved tonight. Let me give you the numbers real quick. 6'6", 321, 32 and 6/8 inch arms, though.
Pop. I think teams were talking about him. I thought he moved around very athletic in the drills. Put his little bit light-handed. You don't really hear a huge pop with him. When you watch the tape on him, he plays a little hollow, in my opinion.
What does hollow mean?
Hollow means that he doesn't anchor well all the time.
Gotcha.
Or when he hits you, it just, you don't hear a thud. It's like it's hitting something hollow. But he is a very good athlete. I think that he is big enough, and he's going to have enough position flexibility where people will look, some may look at him as a guard, some may look at him as a left tackle, some can see him as a right tackle. I think he's athletic enough to play multiple positions. Great kid. When you sit there and talk with him. So he will be definitely a Friday pick after that workout.
Okay. And you talk about popping the pads. Paris Johnson Jr. was doing that at Ohio State. That got your attention.
Yeah, I still have to wear earplugs after how hard he hit the pads.
All right. Safety, slot guy, whatever you want to call him, Brian Branch, ran a 4.58 of the combine. Didn't try to improve on that, which I thought was interesting, but Popper dropped.
I want to say level. I think
stay the same. Okay.
Yeah, I think some may drop a little just because of the 4.58, especially if they were looking at him as a Nick. I don't think it'll be as big a concern if he's just going to get drafted and as a free safety. But he did. He was smooth, moved fluid hip turn, you know, turns, showed burst out of his turns, caught the ball well. I thought he had a really good DB workout. The 4.58 will be a concern for some teams.
I still think he goes around one. You think that's crazy?
No, I don't know. There's no safeties. So
yeah, I think that's the other thing.
What's on the board, but there's no other options at safety.
So his teammate, cornerback Eli Ricks, ran a 4.6, but oh my gosh, he looks like the cornerback you build in the lab. 6'2", 190, 32 and 3/8 inch arms. You care about that? And
he plays faster than he times.
Yes.
Although a few times, if he does get stretched down the field, you'll see him not be able to stay up with speed type receivers. He's going to have to fit a zone scheme, or if he can get up there and press and disrupt the receiver on his release, it gives him an opportunity to stay with the guy. But if he's going to get in the foot race, I think that's the biggest concern that teams will have with him.
You start him outside and then move him to safety once you figure something out, or do you start him outside?
The only way you move him to safety is understanding if he has the ability to make all the calls and adjustments. And is he have the ability to communicate? Because part of being a safety is not only you have to be extremely smart, you have to make the adjustments, but you also have to be able to communicate and bark out everything you need to bark out through that pre-snap read process.
Right. And that's the thing that you pointed out in recent podcasts. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to play cornerback. You have to be pretty smart to play in the middle of the field.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Ricks is not smart. I don't know.
That's in general.
Just in general terms.
Yep, that's right. All right, we'll do one more, and I'll let you decide which one you want to do. You can do Cameron Latu, the tight end. You can do Byron Young, the defensive lineman, or you can do Henry Toitoi, the linebacker at Alabama. Which one do you want to say popped or dropped?
I think they all stayed the same. I wouldn't say anyone really popped. I thought Latu, I still think he's probably a Saturday guy, in my opinion. He did run. I want to give him credit for that. He ran in the 4.74, I believe, or low 4.7s. Caught the ball well, just doesn't block. And then Brian Young had a solid workout, and so did I don't think any of those guys are going to be elite superstars. I think Henry and Young will be legitimate, good starters for a team, not Pro Bowl caliber players, but good, solid players. And then I think Latu will be a role type player for a team.
And you might note a name I didn't mention, Will Anderson Jr. He didn't work out. You spoke with him afterwards, and I don't know if he needed to work out. Did he need to do anything? No, if you're a general manager,
at the combine, he ran. He did the linebacker drills, the D line drills. He ran. He did everything there. I don't think, you know. And I even asked him, because a lot of times if they don't work out, if he had any private workouts coming up, and he said no. So he may be a player that everybody is okay. I know where he's going to go. I know what type of kid he is, what type of player he is. Work's done on him. We did that with Harrison Smith after we were done at the Senior Bowl with him. Worked out the combine, I believe, if I recall. And then we never talked to him again after that until we drafted him, moved up and drafted him.
And that's the other thing. I don't have the names in front of me, but you tell, I don't know if you want to talk about this out loud or not, but you would keep track of who showed up and who didn't show up at these pro days, right?
Right. And it's just like who had, sometimes it'll be tweeted out who had private workouts with what teams. Try to get you an indication of what teams are interested in what players. So we had our associates that were in the office, and part of their job was to put together a spreadsheet on what player and what team was working them out. If they got it off the, you know, whatever, wherever they got the source from that they would put it. So we had a kind of an idea of who was interested in who.
Now, I don't know. Does this only hold for like top 50 picks? I mean, if you like a guy on day three, you're not going to try to hide that, are you?
Yeah. No, we're going to definitely try to hide that.
Oh, okay.
A lot of times when you have these top 30 visits in, sometimes those will be reported out. So if we had a guy that was not at the combine or a guy that we really liked at the later round, I would tell him and his agent, we would bring him in more like a recruiting visit, especially if he was going to be a college free agent, but we really liked him and told him his agent, do not say you were here in Minnesota.
Oh, you told him that specifically? Oh, yeah.
Yes. So, and a lot of times when I would interview players, I would ask them, who's been talking to you the most? Who do you think, which team thinks, you know, do you think is the most interested in you? So a lot of things that you try to dig up and sift through, so you get to the finish line here in 32 days till the NFL.
32 days. That's right. All right. Let's go to Kentucky, Lexington. That was our third leg of the trip. And I'll be honest, Debo, we got into the Cincinnati airport, which is an hour and change from Lexington, Kentucky, at 1:30 in the morning from Tuscaloosa. And then Rick had us up at 7, getting our minds right to drive over to Kentucky. I was a little tired. I'm not going to lie to you, Rick.
Well, we had that hipster coffee and your espresso that got you going.
Yeah. Rick had his first espresso. He liked it, although begrudgingly, he didn't want to admit it.
No, I did not say I liked it. It had too much milk in it.
Oh, get out of here. It was a cappuccino for people keeping score at home. I'll get him on Americano.
It's the same thing. It's just give me a black coffee and let's move on. And
we'll see. All right. So we made our way after the hipster coffee stop to the Lexington, to the workout facility next to the stadium. And we'll start with Will Levis. You talked about him earlier, but is he a pop or is he a drop?
I'm going to go. This is going to create a little bit of a stir. I'm going to go drop.
Okay. Why?
Because when you saw him throw up close and in person like that, I just think he's so wound up tight in his upper body. And he's going to have to learn how to put some touch on the ball. Touch with velocity would be another term to use, like you were trying to describe. Everything's just a fastball with him. Now, I know he's a very good athlete. Because I've seen that on tape, understand everything we said, but I just wish he was a little bit less mechanical in outside the pocket and when he has to make off schedule type plays, and he had a little bit more touch on the ball when he throws it, especially if he has to take some off. Because when he tried to take some off, it looked forced. It looked mechanical.
Yeah,
it wasn't natural. When you watch the other two, CJ throw and Bryce Young throw, it's just so natural, whether it's a fastball or whether it's a touch throw or a deep throw with air under ball. Will Levis's right now, to me, is just a fastball thrower.
I knew what you were about to say, and you caught yourself to save yourself the headache of the words that are about to leave your lips. So that was pretty smart on your part. You're getting better at this whole media thing, Rick. All right, what about running back Chris Rodriguez? Because he came in for me. I didn't love him coming out of the season. He was okay at the Senior Bowl. He runs hard, but I thought he actually looked pretty good in the drills.
Yeah, but I guess that's one thing you got to be careful of. The day before, we saw Jahmyr Gibbs go through the same drills, and then you watch Rodriguez, and nothing against him. It's night and day difference when you watch those two go through their pro days. He's a tough, straight-line, hard-nosed runner. If you want to compare him to the Benny Snells of the world, some people thought that Benny Snell was better. Some people thought that Rodriguez is going to be better than Benny Snell, but he's a one-cut, hard-nosed, downhill runner that doesn't have a lot of electric to his game.
I think Benny was either a fourth or fifth round pick. I have to double check, but I think Chris, for me, I think Benny was a little better coming out. I didn't love Benny. Is he fourth, fifth rounder or afterwards for you when you talk about Chris?
He's a drop for me. I know, and he caught the ball pretty good there and everything.
He did. I thought he did. All right, and let's talk about the cornerbacks here. Kedron Smith was at the Senior Bowl. I thought he availed himself nicely there. He was a late add because of some other player dropped out. He wasn't invited to the combine, as it turned out, but his teammate Carrington Valentine was. And let me just tell you about Carrington Valentine, also a cornerback, 5'11 and 5'8", 189. He ran a 4.38, and he didn't run a second one because he apparently tweaked a hammy. And part of me wonders if he just says that because he knew he ran the 4.38 and wants to make it seem like he's faster than that, which would be a great mind game to play. He did bench 225 nine times. I don't know if you care about that, but he did have a 39-inch vertical. I know you care about that. So what do you think about these two cornerbacks and their pro day performances?
Yeah, well, Valentine was a pop, and Smith was a drop for me. Just looking at those two. What did Smith run? Did you?
He did not run. Oh, he did run. I'm sorry. He ran 4.58. Yes,
I got that information for you. Apparently,
I was reading the wrong line. 4.58 and 36-inch vertical.
Right. So that's going to be a concern. So that's why I had the pop drop there. And Valentine looked explosive, a little more explosive. Smith probably a little smoother, but not as twitchy of an athlete. But Valentine was creating some buzz for sure after that workout.
I thought Valentine, I told you, this was a little stiff in his movements. I thought Smith moved was a little more fluid in his movements. 6.2201 is what Kedron measured at, I think, the combine. So he's in the same cluster, if you will, as Eli Ricks, who we talked about earlier, 6.2190, 10 pounds heavier. They ran similar times. I think most people would, I don't think anyone would say that Smith was a better cornerback in terms of the physical things he could do. Probably Eli Ricks. You agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, take a flyer on him on Saturday. I don't think they go before Saturday.
Okay. All right. But you are intrigued by Valentine because of his physical tools.
And his explosiveness and his twitch, even though he is a little tight-hipped.
Yeah, I will say, I mentioned the 39-inch vertical. He just sort of did a little leapfrog jump at the start of the 40 just to get loose, and it looked like he had springs in his shoes because he was you can tell a difference between him, you know, jumping and me, for example, jumping.
Or Smith, but that's fine.
Or Smith. Yeah, I know. You're down on Smith. I get it. All right, and that was our three-day journey, as you call it, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And this week we're headed to Gainesville for a short trip, just see Anthony Richardson and some of his teammates, Jermon Dexter, Osiris Torrance, SIBO, I think that's his nickname that he goes by. So there's some guys down there we want to see. Any lasting thoughts from our whirlwind tour last week before we get out of here, Rick?
No, it was, I'm glad that we were able to do some things on a serious note that to help promote what we're doing out there and to get some information. And I think fans want to definitely hear. And thanks to the universities that gave us the access that they gave us to.
Absolutely.
Because that made all the difference in the world to be able to do what we were able to do from a broadcasting standpoint while we're out there. So kudos to all those, universities and their programs for letting us be able to go out there and help evaluate and hopefully give an opinion and a much more knowledgeable opinion after we've been to these pro days.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Ohio State, Alabama, Kentucky, they could not have been greater. And Debo, got to mention, none of this happens without Mr. Spielman there. Mr. Spielman is, like I said, he's the mayor at all three of those towns. So,
well, I did make a call from the coffee shop on to make sure we're set up for Florida as well.
That's right. Yeah, so again, so thanks to the universities for having us and the staffers that helped us out. And then thanks to Rick for making it all happen. And yeah, I think seemed to be a pretty good response based on the people watching last week, and hopefully they'll watch next week when we get to Florida. But tomorrow, Tuesday, if you're listening to this live on March 28th, we're going to talk wide receivers, do our wide receiver rankings. Me and Rick, of course, will be joined by Josh Evers. Then Thursday, we'll be doing an immediate reaction pod from Gainesville, Florida after Anthony Richardson throws. So look out for that. And I think that's it. Episode 29 in the books, Rick, as you mentioned. And you won't shut up about 32 days to the draft. We get it. The draft is right around the corner. We know. So thanks, everyone, for watching. We really appreciate it. Thanks to my guy, Rick. And thanks to Debo, who's going on vacation, Rick, if you can believe that.
Again.
We'll see you guys on Tuesday.
I've seen a guy go on a vacation as much as he does.
9+ original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount+.